You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 253 of Horsemanship Radio, brought to you by Hands On Gloves, the all-in-one revolutionary bathing grooming gloves. Horsemanship Radio is a part of the family of the Horse Radio Network. And today we have
Louise Butcher, founder and director of Horse Ultra Sports Kit.
This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to Horsemanship Radio. Thanks for joining us. Horsemanship Radio airs on the 1st and the 15th of the month, and I have my trusty producer with me, Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hello, Debbie.
Hi. I can't wait to share this with you. So we are fortunate. It only happens once or twice a year, depending on how many are ready for it. We had 7 advanced students show up 3 weeks ago on to Flag Is Up, the California Horse Center School, the Monty Roberts International Learning Center. There's a lot of titles, right? We had 7 students. How many are boys? How many are men?
Out of 7, I'm going to say 2.
3. It never happens. We usually have a token. Usually have one guy.
Is that true? Most of your advanced students are women. Isn't that interesting?
Most of our students are women, period. Very first. And for sure, by the advanced level, most are women. And you know, I wouldn't say, like, we have an introductory course going on right now, and there's 3 or 4 guys out of, I think we have 9 or 10 in the class. We're actually on the upwards of it. So that's not out of the park unusual. But it is unusual when we get to the very advanced level, really getting serious about this, that we have that many men.
Well, it's so cool to get insight into how these courses play out and who attends them and why. And you can look forward to next month's episode on May 5th or May 1st. May 1st, there we go. And we're going to talk a little bit with the students that are at the course and get a little behind the scenes look. But today's episode, we're going to be chatting with a previous guest by the name of Louise. She's from The Husk, and she manufactures some truly high-tech, research-based horse products. And Debbie chatted with her a little while ago about the how and the why and some of the studies. And it's so cool to see these science-based products being manufactured by the up-and-coming equestrians in the UK. And we will get right to that right after we hear from our title sponsor, Hands On Gloves.
Our title sponsor, Hands On Gloves, who support us and are our reason for being here, I actually have a little innovation that you were telling me about with Nigel.
Yes, Nigel. This was inspired. I was watching some of the videos over on the Hands On Gloves YouTube page.
That's cool. Yeah.
And it has great ideas for using your hands on gloves if you ever want to spend a little time on YouTube. And who doesn't want to do that? In the wintertime, Nigel does not get clipped because his hair coat doesn't really get very thick and he lives out of doors. It's a very light winter coat. And that's a real struggle in the winter because you want to get deep down into the hair when you dry them off. Because what can happen is you can get rain rot if the top of the hair dries before the skin does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And we've all used towels to dry our horses off. You scrape back and forth. But that's it doesn't get to the skin. It only dries the top.
It does.
So you take the old hands-on gloves, which you've got on anyway, because that's what you were using to scrub your horse.
You washed it with. Yeah, that's right.
Just grab a towel, toss it on your horse, and you dry the horse using your gloved hand. And those little bumples on the gloves get down between the hairs and dry the skin off. It's awesome.
It's awesome. And they love it. I mean, who doesn't like to be snuggled in a blankie?
If you give them a good once over with a towel and your hands-on glove, then when you do throw the cooler over top, you've fluffed up all that hair so that it can allow the moisture from the skin to come up through. If the hair's mushed down flat, it's going to do its job of keeping things just the way they are. So grab yourself a pair of hands-on gloves from handsongloves.com or your local tack retailer. You can find them everywhere. They come in lots of different sizes and colors.
Yep.
And give it a try for yourself.
Louise Butcher is founder and director of Horse Ultra Sports Kit, and that was built on a dream to innovate and challenge the status quo, as well as a love for horses and the desire to help improve their well-being. She's been riding since she was three and always had a love for horses. Well, welcome, Louise Butcher. We have you back from the HUSC. Give me that acronym again. What does HUSC stand for?
It stands for Horse Ultra Sports Kit.
And it is a Horse Ultra Sports Kit that you have available. This is a bit of a dream of yours. People can go back and listen to that episode that Jen and I mentioned. And we wanted to take it a little bit further from there and be educated. I'm always fascinated by those at the top of their game, which is you, Louise, because you've been doing this a long time. When did you get started?
We did this. I started about 8 years ago, but we've been officially running for about 7 years.
Where in England are you?
Devon.
Ah, it's a beautiful area. That's a nice area. And lots of horses and a lot to learn. So I had asked you, what subject should we carry? What can you help us learn about today that affects your life and affects a lot of performance horses' lives? So we'll stick to the performance horse for today, pretty much. But heat in tendons is what you told me, and I'm fascinated by that. We constantly are booting and unbooting here, even in California, where the weather isn't that extreme. But we can take 50-degree swings during the day, Louise. I mean, from day to night here, we can be an 80 or 90-degree day, which in the U.S., that's warmish. You know, that's pretty warm, down to freezing, which is 32 here.
In the U.K., I mean, we generally in a day, we generally stay maybe 2 or 3 degrees change. So it's really no way like you guys.
So it's a problem here in that we wrap, we boot up to put them on a Eurosizer, which is an interesting a bit of exercise for them. We boot up to even, we'll put bell boots on for turnout and even brush boots, you know. To turn out, and then we'll saddle them up and we'll take them into the arena. So talk to me a little bit about the base before we talk about equipment and what we can do to mitigate. Talk to me a little bit about the mechanics of horses' legs, a little bit about how they're built and the problematics there.
So horses, generally, they lose their heat through their body. So the trunk of their body. So that's where the vascularization is. So where all the capillaries are that are close to the skin. So when they get hot, obviously you see them sweat through their back and around their girth and so on. But they don't have a lot in their legs, particularly in their lower leg, because as we talked earlier, the legs are designed to stand in cold and wet and different conditions. Mm-hmm. And if they were standing in cold weather for too long, they don't have a lot of fat or anything around that part of their body to keep it warm. So the idea is that the body doesn't release any heat in the leg very easily. So obviously if we're putting something over the top of that, then we're exacerbating a situation that is designed to cope naturally with when it comes to regulating the heat. And another thing as well is that horses, as you know, they have hair on their body. And the idea of the hair is that it thermoregulates. It traps the air between the hair and the body and the skin. And that air gap actually regulates the temperature for the horse as well. So, you know, things like shaving their legs and stuff like that, that stops that natural ability. So that's the basics of it. With a horse in terms of heat and management.
Tell me about the frog and circulation.
It's like a pumping effect, really, from the base, so from around the base of the foot, so the frog, all the way up the leg, the shoulder, into the back. I mean, they're a system. It's like humans. We don't operate in isolation, so it's a full system. So as the horse is moving its leg up and down, it's pumping the blood, the lymph and toxins and waste and vitamins and minerals and everything all up and down the leg. So it's really important to give as much freedom to that process as possible. So again, if we're strapping something around the horse's leg, then we're limiting that ability as well. So there's many different things.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, because a lot of people will say, yeah, but they have the frog. So when they move, so when they're standing in a stall or they happen to not be moving, I don't care if they're in a pasture, they're not moving, then that frog isn't really helping them too much then.
No. No. Mm-hmm. So often then what happens is because the, and in fact, this happened to one of my horses, it's because she was older. What happened to her was that her legs started to become very sensitive, very rigid, stiff, because she wasn't moving enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think movement is the key to horses. Mm. I think, you know, God created them that way to move.
Yeah.
And, you know, move our food around and so they have to seek it out a bit.
Definitely.
And so, so I think if they're built to do that, then that's a good thing. Now tell me though, when we put extrinsic things on to help them not bang their legs up, because what's the issue with having a little bit of a cut at the bottom of our leg then?
Well, I guess, there's a number of things.
Yeah,
the first obvious things are, you know, you can get infection. It's not nice for the horse to have to experience any kind of trauma to the leg. Horses can feel flies on their body, so you know they're going to feel that they've got a good nervous system all over, so that will hurt. It causes inflammation, and also I think there's also a level of rider guilt. There's an element of that as well, but primarily, you know, it's you don't want the horse to have an infection.
I've always been told it's because they have that wee bit of circulation down there. But it's the same as ours. Fingertips heal a little slower than the rest of our body because of the extremities. And we don't get enough circulation there to carry that infection away. So does the extrinsic, putting the boots on is a good thing to protect them. But is it also a dangerous thing if we've got them on too tight or restricting circulation?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just everything's got a positive and a negative to it. So, you know, at the end of the day, the intention behind putting leg protection on your horse is because you want to do the right thing. You're not doing it to hurt your horse. You're doing it because you want to help your horse. So that's a good thing. But I do think, like you say, the over-tightening can ruin or damage the circulation, and particularly doing it for long periods of time, too often, your horse not moving enough. It's kind of a cumulative combination of things. Then, yes, you can cause problems in the future. And obviously, if you're using products that are insulating, then you're going to be exacerbating the heat issue as well. So
that's it. So let's talk about some studies.
There's quite a few around.
Okay,
so the ones that I mainly talk about, there was one in 1994 carried out by Wilson and Goodship. One thing that they found, which was really, I found quite interesting, was that as the horse's gait increases, the temperature actually drops in the horse's leg, which is quite interesting. But what it is, the reason why, is because it's the airflow around the horse's leg.
Gotcha.
That is lowering the temperature of the horse's leg, because they're finding an equilibrium between the inner temperature inside the leg and the outer temperature. And that airflow, a little bit like when you wind your window down in the car, it cools the leg down. So it's really important to allow the air to flow around the horse's leg, particularly when the horse is going faster, because it helps regulate the horse's temperature. So they discovered these sorts of things in 1994. And they'd also discovered at that time that when leg temperatures got to over 40 degrees, that's when the cells started to denature. So the cells within the tendons started, the matrix, because they're all kind of like kept together, the proteins are all kept together. They started the chains started to break up. And I guess it's like, I always explain, it's a bit like a wooden door. You know, when the wooden door is exposed to hot temperatures, it expands, doesn't it? And then you start to get the cracks inside the door. And it's the same with the tissues. They just start to expand and they just start to become a bit more sinewy over time. So they discovered
And then 40 degrees in our, in your vernacular means that's like over 100 degrees. I mean, it gets, that's getting really hot. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then they started to, then we, there were others that went on and many others that went on. But the one that I kind of really inspired me, I guess, to start to think about making these boots in particular, was in 2013. There was a study by a lady called Katie Baxter, and she studied polo horses. And she looked at the polo wraps, so the fleece bandages that I think everybody's used at some point in their life. And she compared those against horses without any leg protection at all.
Okay.
And it was at that point that she really went into the detail of the kind of pattern of temperature and what actually happens to the horses. And the study was done, the horses were cantering for only 15 minutes and the ambient temperature was 16 degrees. So it was a very average day, I'd say. It's not a hot day, not a cold, very British, sort of very British temperature, just average and grey, unfortunately. But it's a good temperature to use because it gives a really nice balanced review, because people don't think that horses get hot in that temperature, but they do. Yeah. And so for 15 minutes, these horses were cantered, and she did it over a course of time as well. So she did a number of cycles of this to make sure that she took an average of these temperatures. So it was a good study. But a couple of things that she pulled out was within 15 minutes, the horses bandaged, the temperatures were reaching 40 degrees in that temperature, which was quite surprising. And the other things that were really interesting were things like the leg temperature for horses that didn't have any leg protection on, the temperature increased gradually. So it gave the body time to adjust to the increase. But with the leg protection, it was quite sudden. So of course, the body wasn't given the time to adjust. Mm-hmm. Other things that they found was by 15 minutes, the temperatures plateaued in the horses with no leg protection. So it plateaued because, again, legs are meant to warm up to become more flexible. So otherwise you have injury from another extreme.
Yes.
But they plateau. So once they get to their natural temperature, it stops right there. But with the bandages, it continued to increase. And they actually stopped the trial at 15 minutes because it had reached 40 degrees and they knew that it wouldn't be ethical to carry on. So it was just really interesting, the patterns of temperature and what happens, not just the temperature they reach, but also sort of all that goes on in between. So, yeah.
Some people will recognize this from the blanketing debate, that people have, right? Same kind of thing. I mean, all the capillaries are up there, so we're still going to stick with legs here today. But it's the same thing of, people like, what's freezing cold and I just clip my horse and I really think he needs a blankie. And, but there's a lot going on in there for the body to...
Well, horses are designed to be out in the wild. I mean, where we live here, we have moorlands. So we have loads of wild ponies on the moors and they're fine.
They're fine. Exactly. Please leave us alone. Yeah. No, it's okay. It's just a debate, and with those swings here. But in any case, well, if that's true, what do we do?
What do we do indeed? We're going to take a quick break from one of our sponsors and we will be right back with the answer.
Imagine if you could take Monty to the barn with you. Watch and learn as he addresses each challenge with your horse and answers your questions too. You head to the arena and you work on each new lesson, knowing Monty's there to encourage you, all with violence-free, tried and true methods. After all, he's been helping train horse lovers all his life. With his online university, you could be like Kathy, a retired teacher who just bought her first horse.
Recently, I went to a tack shop to look for a smaller halter. I'm 61, just purchased my 14-hand POA the day after my birthday, just a few weeks ago, after never having had a horse. And yes, that's crazy, but as a retired teacher who never had a hobby other than teaching, I decided to go for it. My hubby and I have taken lessons this past year, but I really longed for a relationship with a horse. The only other experience I'd ever had was to ride a horse in Philly, Pennsylvania, my hometown, when I was 16, and I got bucked off. And that was it until I was 61. Well, the owner of this tack shop, this precious lady, 84-year-old lady, gave me a copy of this magazine, Equine Monthly. And the article I read in it was Horses Are Biofeedback Beings, and it was just so interesting. I really felt like I just found a pot of gold when I read it, because in it, it talked about Monty's online university and that I could have access to 575 videos for $10 a month. And before that, I was just searching YouTube for everything I could find. But truthfully, that's just a pain. I love that the Uni videos are concise and they're in order. They have extra notes and a quiz. And I just can't thank you enough for the huge blessing of your online university. It really has changed my life, and I will never be the same. I've had my horse Jack now for 7 weeks, and thanks to the videos, I've done join up with him, and it really worked like a dream. I had to do it in an arena, but it still worked, thanks to Monty's lessons and the cues and the hand signals. The ability to watch the lessons over and over on demand is incredible. So I also want to thank you so very much for making the online university affordable for this retired teacher. Thank you so much for all that you do for everyone who really wants to love a horse. Kathy.
The next question is, are there protections now that can be created that don't heat up the leg or try to mitigate that?
So just educate yourself is the first thing. And then you can make educated decisions based on how it makes you feel. And I think that's always a good thing to say. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I mean, obviously now it's modern times. So there's a lot more modern fabrics and so on that's enabling people to be able to boot their horses and protect them without necessarily heating them up. Mm-hmm. But also it's about making sensible decisions, I think, as well. You know, it's like if you wore shoes all day, it's nice to take your shoes off.
And yeah, exactly.
I think there's also a balance as well to kind of also have a little bit of a trust in the universe that your horse is going to be okay.
Yeah,
as well.
Been doing this a long time. Well, yeah. tell us a little bit. I'm going to make you just shamelessly tell us about your product.
So the products, everything that we make is what we call thermoregulating. So it's all been tested. So all of the products regulate the temperature of the horse's leg to keep them at their natural temperature. So we've tested them alongside vets on numerous occasions, and I still test them now because it's like magic. I often can't believe that it works. And I think this time they're going to fail me. And no, they don't, because it's the same fabric. It's the same thing, but it's quite unbelievable. But they don't heat the legs up any more than the horse's natural temperature would be. And it's because the fabrics trap the air in between, and they allow the air to go in and out and also within. So they create that airflow effect, like when you wind your window down. So it all happens. And they allow proprioception, because obviously they allow the air to touch the horse's legs. So therefore, particularly if you're booting young horses, sometimes that can cause a bit of clumsiness, because that's the time when the body's learning what the nerves, you know, are thinking down there and taking it up to the brain. And so it enables that as well. And also they can't be over tightened, because we've created specific elastics that stop that from happening.
How do they do that? My first question. Second question is there a test? Like, I like to get a finger in there and make sure that, you know, it's not too tight, but what do you tell people?
So, well, the you know, most elastic can have a real kind of stretch to it. So you often find that people cranking them around and obviously the elastic then starts to lose its elasticity and then they're kind of cranking it around even more. Whereas this elastic it's kind of vertically and laterally latticed. So you have a little bit of a stretch, but you just, if you pulled it too tight, the boot would just spin round. You just can't do it. And the boots are shaped very well to the horse's leg. They're so very ergonomically shaped. So once you slot them in and you put your straps around, then they just stay where they are and they just start to shape to the horse's leg as time goes on as well. So it just becomes more of a nice pair of jeans.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, that's awesome. Do you have, do you address bell boots or anything down at the feet too?
Yeah, we have the bell boots as well. Because obviously in England it's very muddy. So our issue is that particularly with the rubber ones, the mud gets caught underneath. And it just creates this horrible, damp, dirty environment. So again, these bell boots are they're porous, so the water can just go straight through them. So you can literally hold a hose, and you can see the water coming out the other side. So they're really clever, like a honeycomb cage.
I see. Awesome. And then, what about hock boots? That's another debate around here.
We don't do hock boots at the moment. I think. Well, I can only say my feelings around it. But I don't know whether it'll be controversial or not. I just get concerned that things over the joints can sometimes limit the movement of the joint. And then that in turn, the horse will compensate somewhere else to kind of, so it's about, it's just give and take, isn't it? So we don't make them, but then there isn't really much of a need for them in the sports that we kind of operate in at the moment, although we are looking at doing a knee boot for reining, but it will be attached to our current boot, so you'll be able to attach it, but it will come up this way, so like an upside down bell boot. So we're looking at designing that at the moment. So my idea was I wanted to create something that would be suitable for almost everything. So again, the boots that we create, you can turn your horses out in them, because obviously they don't heat the tendons at all. They don't hold water, and they offer protection, which we can talk about in a minute. They're perfect to leave your horse out in the paddock. So the protection is, the boots are made, I can only explain, it's almost like a mattress. You know, when you see the coils inside the mattress? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like that. And the idea is that they dissipate the force of impact. So the fabrics that we use are used in bulletproof vests, riding helmets, and they've been tested numerous times. We've tested them as well with an axe, a 5-kilogram axe on softwood, and we've compared them against lots of other types of leg protection. And we've examined the dent, the depth of the dent, the width of the dent, if the dent exists at all. And again, because our boots have a spring effect, like a mattress, they spread and weaken the force of impact through the boot. So there's just no dent, no split, nothing. So they're great for protection as well. And they're used for high goal polo. They're used for, so a lot of players use them. And they're also used in eventing. So we have quite a few Olympic eventers that use them. So yeah, they've proved their protection performance. Mm-hmm. Over time as well.
And it's so, you know, it is, we had a horse just over the weekend kick at another horse through the fence, right? You know, you just like that. I mean, that was a $500 vet bill probably by the time the guy, it was a Saturday, by the time the vet comes out and everything. So I know some people will say the cost or whatever. I don't even know what your cost is. So we're not even going to talk about that because we're not even cheap. In the same currency.
Yeah. Not cheap. Same.
Not cheap. Good. That's good. We don't, cheap is not a good word.
No.
Because I mean, I want these, if I'm going to put anything extrinsic on my horse, I want it to be effective. I mean, what's the point, right? It's a lot of labor too, by the way, that, you know, if you're going to boot up and do all these things to be protective, then you don't want to think that you've got, you know, you're doing any detrimental stuff while we're at it. So, I assume that you are a high end, and that's good.
Yeah.
That is my world. I don't care if you have a trail horse. The vet bill doesn't care either.
They don't care. And I don't play polo. I used to compete. I used to be a dressage rider, but now I don't do anything. I've got kids. I've got four horses that are my buddies and take me out around the forest. And so, I still protect them. And yes. I still consider them, don't worry. So it's important. Yes. And you love them at the end of the day. They're part of your family. So you don't want to see them hurt.
Absolutely. 100%. No. Thank you, Louise. Louise Butcher from The Husk. And thank I hope you. People will go. Your website is?
Thehusk.co.uk.
Yeah, that's the trick. It's not .com. It's .co.uk. You might want to secure that .com too, because my fingers just go .com, you know, when I do it. Thehusk.co.uk. Thank you so much. If you have thank more you. Things that you can educate us on, Louise, I'd love to have you back.
Oh, lovely. Love to come back. Thank you for having me.
Whisper the language of the herd. Listen, you don't have to say a word.
It's time for Jamie Jennings to fetch an email from Monty Roberts' inbox and share a morsel of Monty's wisdom in a little segment we like to call Ask Monty.
Leave this world a better place than mine. The magic in the language of the herd.
Dear Monty, how can you say single-line lunging is bad when almost all horsemen have been doing it for centuries? I've been saying since bringing my concepts to the public that hitting a horse with a whip to inflict pain is wrong. We have been doing it for centuries. How could it be wrong? I can demonstrate why it's wrong, and I work with horses that have been damaged by using pain in almost every demonstration. It is my opinion that single line lunging causes damage to horses. I am not concerned with whether we have been doing it for centuries. I am only concerned with the harm that it is doing to horses. Many good horsemen are now beginning to agree with me that single line lunging is damaging our horses. Please note the next time you lunge your horse on a single line, how many times he travels with a cross gallop or on the wrong lead. Please note how often your horse carries his head to the outside of the circle and observe the shape on the spine as he travels around in the circle. I am not saying that the horseman who is single line lunges is a criminal. I'm saying he doesn't realize that it's a bad procedure. In my next tour, I plan to give as much information as I can by demonstrating with live horses how to improve the process of lunging without these damaging effects. Horsemen and women can judge for themselves when they see the improvement that comes over a horse within 20 minutes or so.
For more of these insights into good horsemanship, go to MontyRoberts.com and click on the words Ask Monty at the bottom of the page.
Where in the world is Monty Roberts?
Monty is looking forward to meeting some new friends, two-legged and four-legged, in May of 2024. We have May 4th, the Mountain Trail Play Day. May 11th, we have a Horsemanship 101. That's a one day and it's fun. And we have May 13th through 17th, we've got a Monty special training, and it's being taught by a Brazilian, so he can speak Portuguese too. And then May 24th through 26th, we have a Horse Sense and Healing. Then June, we have 10 through 14, the Gentling Wild Horse Course. Beautiful. And June 21 through 23 is the Movement, Jen. And we are continuing to announce new. We've got this, a saddle fitter, bit fitter, amazing Swedish gal that's coming too. So we'll be talking more about her. And then also just some brilliant instructors that are coming in to join Monty and the crew and Jamie. And then Jared Rogerson is going to, of course, be serenading us. So it's really fun. And then July 8 through 12, we have Monty special training. July 19 through 21, we have Horse Sense and Healing. July 20, we have a Mountain Trail Play Day. July 27, we have a Horsemanship 101. And then into August, because Manjeev will be here from India. He's so cool all summer. August 5 through 20, introductory course of horsemanship. We talked about that. And then we'll break it into those mods. So you can go 1, 2, 3, and 4. And that's overlapping that. And then the 25th, we have a Horsemanship 101. And that's as far as I'm going to go today.
Shoo! I'm out of breath just listening to it. You can find all of that and more at MontyRoberts.com. It's your one-stop shop for everything. California Horse Center, podcast, Equus University. It's all there, including this podcast. Or you can call 805-688-6288. And by the way, the phone number is on the website. So yes. There you go.
And for do you want to do the details? You do it.
And for links for today's show, you can go to horsemanshipradio.com. The horsemanshipradio.com obviously only has the podcast.
That's right.
There you go. And by the way, if you're listening to this here podcast on a computer, you can subscribe to horsemanshipradio. Just go to your favorite player and type in Horsemanship Radio, and you can hit the subscribe button, and that way it arrives in your phone all by itself. You don't have to remember, and you can listen to it at your leisure. Dun, dun, dun.
Leisure? I do it during mucking and bucketing and all those things.
Yeah, all the things. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
No leisure for me, but it's a great way to do that. The chores go so fast when you've got a podcast.
I couldn't survive without podcasts during chores.
I know. How did we do it?
It's or traffic. Good. If there's traffic.
That's true too. Yeah.
Funny that. And as always, we love your feedback. You can give us feedback on social media. On Facebook, it's Monty Roberts, the one with the little blue check mark. And on Twitter, as well as the app formerly known as Instagram, it's Monty_Roberts.
That's right. I love the Instagram too. And we've got Drew. I'll give her some shout out here. Drew's been doing some beautiful photos for Instagram. So go there, you guys, and see it. Even if you don't, I love it if you respond to it. But, you know, even if you just want to see a pretty picture and see a horse running or something, it's beautiful. Many thanks to our sponsors. And that's Jay Michelson at handsongloves.com. Those guys, their team, innovation, they're amazing. And I appreciate them so much. And MontyRobertsUniversity.com is where we keep all those subscriptions to the online university, which is those, we have over 800 now. And that means we do one a week since 2009, but we've done the Ask Monty's, the free Q&As that are on there. And Monty's answered every one of them. I don't know how many would it be? I don't want to do math. 2004, we started putting those up, and we do one a week of those and have never missed one Wednesday.
It's
ever.
A crap load. That's what it is. It's a crap load.
So thank you for all of you that keep reading those and giving us feedback and sending in your questions, because without you, what would I do on Sunday night? Absolutely nothing. So thank you, sponsors. Thank you, listeners. And be sure to visit all the other great shows on Horse Radio Network too at www.horseradionetwork.com. Until next time, have many happy horse hours.